Radio Netherlands, the home of high frequency since 1927.
Hello, this is Jonathan Marks via PCJ Online, just about to push the button on another programme from the Media Network Vintage Radio Archives.
Media Network presents Latin American Clandestine Special, produced and presented by Jonathan Marks.
Quiero la noche, quiero la noche de amor.
Hello there. This week we look at the media battles taking place in Central America, where on Monday of this week a new clandestine radio station was reported in the area. The activity is centred around two countries, El Salvador and Nicaragua. And if you have a map of the area in front of you at the moment, it'll assist you in following the story. First, Nicaragua. For at the end of 1978, a weak signal came onto the shortwaves, calling itself Radio Sandino. Gradually it got stronger, veering around 7588 kHz, and by mid-1979 it had a second transmitter going. As its name implied, it was the voice of the Sandinistas, a revolutionary group opposed to the then Somoza government. As July of that year passed, Radio Sandino became an important weapon, advising its listeners to support general strikes and boycott the rule of Somoza. The call was successful. The Sandinistas took over, some of the old Somoza stations changed their names, and Radio Sandino became the chief station of the Sandinista broadcasting system. It's still there today, broadcasting with around 50 kilowatts on a medium wave frequency of 750 kilohertz, round the clock. But the ousted Somoza regime isn't dead yet, some of the soldiers having made camp in neighbouring Honduras, in the border area of Mosquitia. Most of the border between Honduras and Nicaragua is very rough mountainous terrain, with the exception of this northeastern region consisting of low-level plains. If you're planning an attack in either direction, it's the obvious point to choose. Somocista troops have already made that decision, and like the Sandinistas before them, they're using shortwave radio to foster their cause. Now, you might expect them to call themselves Radio Somoza, but the game is a bit less obvious than that, for the aim of the Somozan group appears to be to confuse. There are four clandestine stations at the moment, beaming into Nicaragua. They all seem to share the same recording of the country's national anthem. But this one, Radio 15th of September, is the most heavily jammed. The 15th of September was the national day under Somoza, but the transmission on or near 6900 kHz, around 05 hours UTC, isn't as potent in its political hard sell as its brothers. It's thought to be operating from southeastern Honduras. Some direction-finding reports indicate that another two clandestine voices are coming from Costa Rica. They have a far slicker professional sound than Radio 15th of September, which has led to speculation that programmes may be recorded in Miami, Florida, or at least receive equipment support from that place. Groups in that corner of the United States have declared their support for Somoza, and they're already making programmes against another target, that being Cuba. The two stations have the titles of La Voz de Sandino and La Voz de Nicaragua Libre, and apparently share some of their announcers. Here's the first one. Apart from the strains of the song Lucifer by the Alan Parsons Project, one of the regular points on the voice of Sandino are recordings of the speeches by Eden Pastora Gomez, one of the leaders of the uprising against the Somoza government. But the Sandinistas fought against Somoza, so is this station and Radio Free Nicaragua, really aimed against the present government in Managua. Here's Alfonso Montalegre of our Spanish section.
Yes, they are. Take La Voz de Sandino, for instance. The national radio station in the country is called Radio Sandino. So you would expect a station like La Voz de Sandino to be a similar sort of station. It is not. It is certainly pro the revolution. In other words, it doesn't support the old Somoza regime, but it is not all that friendly towards the present Sandinista government either. It says the present nine-man junta has betrayed the principles of the revolution, has lost the support of the people, and is receiving backing from countries such as East Germany, the USSR, and Cuba.
Programs have been noted on 6226 kHz recently, around midnight 30 UTC. It's not clear whether Gomez is actually involved with the voice of Sandino. He uses the name Comandante Ciro, but the station admits he doesn't lead El Frente Revolucionario Sandinista, the group running the clandestine, at least not at the moment. They aim their programmes at the free peoples of the world, which may indicate that they hope their broadcasts will be copied and transcribed by monitoring organisations within the Americas. Further down the band, and also sometimes running in parallel, is Radio Free Nicaragua. It's not unusual for this station, heard on various channels recently, including 5754 or 5750 or even 6209 kHz, to carry the exact same material as that of the voice of Sandino. But in general, the content of the broadcasts seems to be aimed specifically at Nicaragua, whereas the voice of Sandino may have a more international context. And so we come to the last and most recent clandestine, Radio Miscus. It was in the latter half of January that that station appeared, and apart from the odd identification in Spanish, the talks are in the Indian language spoken by the Miskitos Indians. 10% of the programmes are music, the rest is talk. The Indians live on the plateau in the northeast of Nicaragua and the southeast of Honduras, but Radio Miscus is talking to the Nicaraguan side, telling the Indians to reject the Sandinistas and that they're torturing and terrorising their people. This is a reference to the fact that the Sandinista government has been moving Indians out of the region. The government in Managua says they're doing it to prevent Indians being caught in the crossfire between the government and pro-Somoza soldiers infiltrating the region. Radio Miscus clearly doesn't agree. And you may have noticed a religious reference in that extract too, which translates as the slogan, Christ yesterday, Christ today, Christ forever. Programmes refer to the Christian church sometimes, but it's not clear which church. Is it part of a drive on behalf of the Protestants, or is it exploiting the fact that the Pope in the Vatican has expressed disapproval at the involvement of Catholic priests in the Sandinista government? Either way, the station claims that the Nicaraguan government is suppressing religious freedom. Alfonso Montalegre again.
Traditionally, in many parts of Central America, the Catholic Church was on the side of the rich people, the landowners. But now there is a new wave within the church to support the poor people and projects to help them out of their poverty. It is also intended to make them conscious of their rights. So it's interesting that these anti-government stations beaming in the country are mixing in religion too, this time from a Protestant standpoint, which is rather new to this part of the world. I think it's fair to say this trend started in Ecuador back in the 30s when the American-financed ACJB, the Voice of the Andes, was started up. Since then, other American churches and religious sects have made their way down to Central and South America with the aim of converting the Catholics to the Protestantism or Protestant-related churches. But where anybody is trying to convert someone else, politics somehow becomes involved. And this is now the case in Central America, where some of the Protestant churches have been accused of being involved with intelligence organizations interested in stirring up dissent into the local population. So even if one revolution is replaced by another, the seeds for a religious civil war are being sown as well. So you can see what could happen in Nicaragua, in Guatemala at the moment. The Catholic radio stations have been silenced there, or even totally destroyed, and the forthcoming visit of the Pope has been the catalyst for heated discussions between religious groups. And I wanted to point it out that this only can happen in small countries. It will never happen in big countries like Argentina or Brazil. So these kind of radio stations are operating only in small countries.
How effective these clandestines are is hard to judge. Radio Miscus is best understood on a single sideband receiver. And the part of the band they chose is well outside the conventional shortwave broadcasting bands. This may be because of the design of the transmitting equipment, or because they hope monitoring organizations will spot them. Shortwave receivers would be able to pick up these frequencies, though, just as they did Radio Sandino back in 1979. The location of Radio Miscus is undetermined at present, but it bears strong similarities to its brothers. Recently, Radio 15th of September has used the Christ Yesterday slogan, but La Voz de Sandino has also broadcast Indian language material, similar to Radio Miscus, last noted on February the 3rd at 0110 UTC on 6226 kHz. The situation in the region is highly complex, with many political and religious issues all mixed together. The ultimate motive, precise location, and source of funding of these stations remains a mystery at the moment, but they're certainly there to confuse. To the west is the country of El Salvador, also locked in civil war, and also the home of clandestine stations. This past Monday saw the emergence of another station, according to a report published today by the BBC Monitoring Service. A Cuban domestic radio station reported on February the 21st that a new station, under the banner of the Farabundo Martí guerrillas, is now operating at 18 and 0130 UTC. The name is Radio Guazapa. It operates from the province of Cuscatlan on the frequency of 9816 kHz, which makes reception impossible in Europe due to interference from Kol Israel in Jerusalem. The name refers to a volcano in the area, and it's said to have an FM transmitter as well. Meanwhile, Radio Venceremos, another anti-government clandestine, is still active. But there appears to be differences in their approach when compared to the third clandestine, Radio Farabundo Martí. Milton Aguilar is the head of public relations for Radio Farabundo Martí. He is now touring Europe to raise funds. When he came into the Media Network studio this past Monday, we asked him about the two guerrilla stations.
Pues, diferencias podríamos marcarlas un poco, digamos, en el tipo de programación, ¿ve?
There is a difference in our program philosophy. Radio Farabundo Martí is aimed at the people of El Salvador. Naturally, our programs inform about the liberation struggle, but we also try to teach the people about hygiene, how to care for the wounded, and broadcast simple educational programs to assist the children. Radio Venceremos is in another part of the country, and their programs are more directed at the military, providing news and support for our side. In this respect, the two stations complement each other. Each station tries to broadcast for 2 hours a day. Venceremos broadcasts at 6 in the morning and 18 hours in the evening local time, whilst we transmit at 12:30 and 19 hours. Venceremos is in Morazán province. We're somewhere in Chalatenango, so if the enemy attacks one zone, the other station can continue. Programs are for the most part live, using modified amateur radio equipment, which goes part of the way to explain the choice of frequencies, somewhere between 6.6 and 7 megahertz.
Venceremos, in particular, relies on its correspondents in the field, each armed with a low-power transmitter, who contact the main station with reports.
Atención, heroico pueblo salvadoreño. En estos momentos estamos estableciendo en estos momentos comunicación directa con Morazán, con nuestra hermana radio Venceremos. Adelante, compañeros.
Parte de guerra número 5. Un nuevo golpe recibe las fuerzas del enemigo en todo el país con el actuar coordinado.
But there are also other problems.
Y otro factor también que ahí influye es la gasolina. En los frentes de
petrol
guerra,
for the generators is another problem, which is why we can't raise the power of our transmissions. 2 hours of broadcasting time costs a lot of fuel. The programs are often jammed. The main jammer used to be just noise, but now the government in El Salvador has put another station on the air, which tries to operate on our frequencies. They use several names, sometimes even Radio Venceremos or Farabundo Martí. They try to confuse the listeners, and we have to look for another frequency quickly. Our radio station studio is now some 6 meters below ground. Only the transmitter and generator are outside because the enemy often bombs us. The major offensive against us was on the 12th of November last year, and we were forced to encircle the station to protect it. One of my colleagues, the third man on Farabundo Martí, was killed in this conflict.
Un compañero muy bueno, pues tercer responsable del equipo de nuestra radio. Él era nuestro tercer responsable que cayó en combate contra las fuerzas del régimen.
It's clear that the operators of these stations are young and anxious that Venceremos and Farabundo Martí should keep their separate identities. Funds to keep them on the air comes mainly from Western Europe. But do they get funds from the communist East Bloc countries?
Prácticamente no. Los países, digamos, del bloque socialista tienen sus propios problemas.
No, we don't. The socialist countries appear to have enough problems with their internal politics, and we don't want this war to turn into a pure East-West conflict. The argument that we're being funded by communist countries is being used against us, though. In fact, it's countries such as France, West Germany and the Netherlands that are raising support.
The views of Milton Aguila of Radio Farabundo Martí. And you can hear the full Spanish interview tomorrow in Radio Enlace, our Spanish communications program.
Media network aimed at target audiences above and below the belt. The equatorial belt, that is.
Remember Radio Martí, the station the current US administration would like to broadcast to Cuba? Well, on the line from New York, we have Dennis Powell at the moment, because there's been a development, isn't there?
That's right, Jonathan. The president met Tuesday afternoon with 17 high-ranking members of Congress, and he told them the administration is preparing a compromise plan that might breathe some new life into the Radio Martí proposal. A lot of the blanks aren't filled in yet, but the one stunning detail of the compromise is that under the new plan, Radio Martí would broadcast from Radio Marathon, a Voice of America facility in the Florida Keys. This, of course, represents a considerable departure from the earlier plans for Radio Martí. The original plan called for construction of one and possibly more transmitter buildings, as well as new studios and production facilities. And until now, the government has tried to keep Radio Martí as separate as possible from the Voice of America. The plan was well accepted by the congressmen and senators. Senator Charles Percy, who's chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, said he believes the plan has a good chance of being approved in Congress. And Senator Edward Zorinsky, a senator from Nebraska, seems to have dropped his opposition to the plan. As you may remember, Zorinsky opposed Radio Martí last year, saying it would provoke Cuba to put new transmitters on the air, which would interfere with American medium wave stations, particularly in his home state. The big unanswered question now is what frequency Radio Marti would use, whether shortwave, which the administration has opposed in the past, or medium wave, just above or below traditional broadcast frequencies, which has been proposed by some, or a regular medium wave frequency. But the administration did note that use of Radio Marathon would lower startup costs, and that alone may have gained it many friends in Congress.
But remember, the Radio Marti proposal still has to obtain approval from Congress, and last year's arguments have to be fought all over again. Now to Europe.
One of the Italian private shortwave stations is pressing a claim through the Italian courts, which could have interesting consequences. A few weeks ago, Radio Time was raided when they operated their station on 6275 kHz. Complaints to the Italian PTT were received from Coast Guard stations in France and West Germany, and Radio Time was prosecuted. They then selected an in-band frequency of 6145 kHz, but after one day's operation were ordered by the Italian Coast Guard station, Roma Radio, to stop interfering with international broadcasting stations. Radio Time has decided to stay on the air, apply to the ITU for assigned frequencies, and fight the action in the regional Toscana courts.
And there's been a development yesterday in Italy, as Andy Sennett reports now on the line from Copenhagen.
Yes, Jonathan, it seems that the unofficial shortwave broadcasters will be allowed to continue operating, provided they're within the recognised international broadcast bands. The authorities contacted all stations, including Vatican Radio, and asked them to move out of the areas reserved for maritime communications into the official broadcasting bands. And this does seem to indicate that they're treating everybody in the same. But in the long term, of course, it's excellent news for stations such as Radio Milan International, but the immediate problem is to find clear frequencies in those overcrowded bands. Now, Dario Monferini informs us that RMI has moved from 6221 to 6181.4 kHz, 6181.4. Now, that provides excellent daytime reception in Italy, and another possible choice is 7214 kHz. But the station does need the help of DXs to find a nighttime international frequency and a daytime one for the whole of Europe, probably in the 25-meter band. And all suggestions are welcome at the address listed for the station on page 104 of the 1983 WRTH. Meanwhile, by the way, our latest world music radio test tapes have arrived, and in fact they may be going out now, but the problem is, can anyone hear it?
OK, so much for that. You've also been listening to the radio this past weekend, I think.
Yes, Saturday evening, Jonathan, coming up towards 2300 UTC, I found a single sideband transmission on 6700 kHz, and when I resolved it, I discovered it was a relay of the American Forces Network Europe. Now, there have been other such relays heard, but this one, at 2259 UTC, carried a community announcement about Ramstein Air Base, followed by a local ID as AFN Kaiserslautern. Now, that's on 1106 kHz medium wave, and it's quite difficult to hear because it's co-channeled with some other AFN stations. So maybe it'll be on again on Saturday night. There was a football match following, so maybe it's connected with that.
A sort of relay to people out in the field, you mean?
Yes, quite possibly. So they have done this before on the American Forces stations.
Meanwhile, in Africa, the clandestine shortwave station, Radio Voice of the Broad Masses of Eritrea, made contact with a Dutch shortwave listener this past week. It seems they have four frequencies active, 14340, 9950, 7450, and 3760 kHz, the second of those being new. They claim their broadcasts are jammed during transmission hours from 4 to 6 hours and 15 to 20 hours UTC, and they accuse the Ethiopian government of causing the deliberate interference. So, another example of the free flow of information we're supposed to be involved in this year.
Well, someone who's dedicated to the free flow of media news is Victor Gunatilika, who reports now from his listening post in Sri Lanka.
The exciting news from Asia is the appearance of a new station, possibly the long-awaited station in support of Prince Sihanouk's alliance in Kampuchea. Sarath Veerakoon in Colombo first heard the station in January, and since then it has been heard fairly well over here in Sri Lanka. The frequency is 5,200 kHz, 5200 00 kHz, and it is heard from 1130 to 1200 UTC. There are no announcements, only music. So watch out for this station on 5200 kHz from 1130 to 1200, and here is what this station sounds like. Meanwhile, we have our ears open for the proposed Burmese station of the Karan National Union, which has yet to appear. In Burma itself, Rangoon has been off the air on 5040 kHz after experiencing some transmitter problems early in January. Over in Japan now, Masuda Yasuaki reports that the new Papua New Guinea station, known as Radio Inga, has the following schedule: 19:30 to 22 hours and 07 hours to 13 hours on 2410 kHz. And this 2410 kHz frequency is on a 2.5 kilowatt transmitter. They are also on medium wave 1494 kHz with 10 kilowatts. Programming is in Pidgin, Inga, and English. Meanwhile, Japanese DXer Hayashi gives the latest schedule of station KYOI in Saipan as follows: 22 hours to 03 hours on 15405, 03 hours to 09 hours 15190, 09 hours to 16 hours 11900, and 16 hours to 22 hours 9670 kHz. Those frequencies, 15405, 15190, 11900, and 9670. The Voice of Indonesia's English language transmissions on Saturdays contain Indonesian language lessons. If you like to learn Indonesian, tune in at 01 hours to 02 hours or 8 hours to 9 hours on these two frequencies, 15150 and 11790 kHz. We have already received the 1983 World Radio and TV Handbook, and I can assure DXers and shortwave listeners that this time's Asian section is better than ever before. Most listings are still very accurate. However, here are a few changes from it. On January 1st this year, the SLBC in Colombo dropped its non-commercial English service and instead on those frequencies of 4968 and 872 kHz medium wave, you will hear the Tamil commercial service. However, SLBC continues to have two separate English services in the domestic service: the commercial service on shortwave and medium wave, and the island-wide FM stereo service. Radio Nepal's KID is also slightly out of date, but here is all the new schedule, and I'm sure you'll find no difficulty in finding the station: 0020 to 0350 and 1230 to 1520 UTC, they have an additional frequency of 3230 kHz. All the other details are up to date. The many stations in Laos and Vietnam are as listed in the handbook, if not for the following changes. Lai Chau is on 6215 kHz, that's 6215. Hong Lieng Son is on 6565 kHz. And the station on 6510 kHz, it's Lang Son and not Hong Lieng Son.
Thanks, Victor. And that's it for this week. But if you're in range of West German television this weekend, look out for an item about our computer experiments on Westdeutscher Rundfunk, Channel 3, at 2015 local time, 2015, during the programme Know How. But for now, thanks to today's contributors, which included additional background research and off-air recordings from Robert Horowitz and reports from Fabrizio Magrone and Michael Schrey. And this is Jonathan Marx in Hilversum saying, back soon, bye for now. And that's where we end this nostalgic trip back into the Media Network audio archives from 1981 to October 2000. If you find all this stuff interesting, you might want to explore the Critical Distance website, where you can find more vintage audio shows, but also peruse recent video interviews I've made in the course of my travels around the world. Some of the videos actually follow up on points raised in the Media Network programme. So zip over to www.jonathanmarx.com for more details. In the meantime, this is Jonathan Marx saying back soon. Bye for now.